All right, ladies and gentlemen,
welcome to another episode of the Salty Show. What's going on, guys?
It's a beautiful day.
Well, let's introduce our guest.
I was going to say, what's up, Mr. Salty? How you doing?
We're good. Here again.
You're Mr. Salty?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's Mr. Salty.
Just so I get the nomenclature.
And just to introduce everybody, we have two new guests with us for today. We have Jeremy and his lovely wife, Heidi. So what's going on, guys? Welcome aboard.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah. All right. So I know that, you know, we had a discussion yesterday. We were talking about... a lot of things. So this is a serious question because for a long time, I think even when you guys were having that little, you know, me and you were still hanging out, and we don't hang out anymore. He just left me.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Wow.
That.
Anyways, can I finish my story?
Okay, sorry.
Can I finish my story?
Maybe.
Anyway, so I remember, and I would ask him, hey, how's it going, you know, with Heidi? And he's like, well, you know, I'm like, so are you guys taking a step further? And you know, I don't think you've ever opened up about relationships, to be honest. And then I remember I had a conversation with you and I said, hey, so how are things going? And you're like, oh yeah, we're, you know, all about it. And then you threw out marriage out there.
Whoa.
Do you remember that one time?
So then
I asked you, I'm like, hey, so you guys are gonna get married? And Jeremy's like, no, I'm never getting married. But here we are, five years later.
Yeah.
So how did that happen? Like, first of all, how were you convinced?
The marriage?
Yeah.
When we bought this house.
Yeah. So you, now was it like a, just made financial sense for you guys? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Or?
So, well, we just bought a new house. So when we were buying the house, she wanted to use her VA loan. And so we started the whole process and we're probably, what, 2-3 weeks into the process. And we kept having people tell us, well, they're not going to approve you. You're not legally married. You're not legally married.
Wow.
You know, we've been living together for 4 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, they're not going to. And then finally, we had talked to 2 different loan people and they didn't bring it up at all. They never brought it up. And then finally, I think, did you ask?
Well, so as we got closer and closer, I'm going, we need to understand this and why we obviously have different last names. And at that time, and when I was asked, I'm like, well, we went to see an attorney and we have an estate plan and had all of those things in place to protect each other, because there was never really a point where marriage was on the table. Not for me, not for Jeremy. Mm-hmm.
To get married.
You were ready.
I had fears. I had fears.
Everybody
if something
has.
Happened, right? Absolutely. If something happened
out.
To, yeah. If something happened to Jeremy, yeah. I've got all this stuff. That's I'm gonna lose the home for the kids and I. What the hell are we gonna do? Especially when I got into the business ownership, and I think before, but so we answered that. And there was no concern for me as far as a marriage went after we went down and saw the attorney and did all of that estate planning.
So you guys went through the whole thing and then they tell you guys, sorry, no.
I asked finally the one, the one agent and I, the one loan officer. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, this keeps coming up. We keep getting this information returned to us. Are we going to be sitting at the title company and they're going to go, guess what? You don't have a loan anymore.
Yeah.
You don't have a marriage license. And he said, okay, well, I don't think so. I've done a bunch of these. I've never had this situation come up. So he went back to the VA and to whoever the loan people were and that he was working with. And they said, wait, what? What do you mean they're not legally married? Mm-hmm. And he says, well, their legal protection is through the attorneys and the courts, but not as a legal marriage document. And, they said, you're in Arizona. And federally, common law marriage federally is not recognized.
Really? Here?
Yeah. Across federally for the nation. It's so the state may recognize it,
yeah.
But
because it's
federal
veteran.
Law does this, not. And I'm a veteran.
Yes.
Or I'm using the VA, right?
Yeah.
Loan. So okay. We talked about it. Jeremy's side, I got him drunk as his side of it.
Yeah,
that's not
the
case. That is not what happened.
Wow. And this is the kicker of the whole thing. Hold on. I'm going to let you, I can't wait for you to finish, but there's a kicker to this whole
all
thing.
Right, finishes.
Let's go.
No, so we got online together with very dear friends of ours and we ordained her.
On the spot.
On the spot.
Like one of those online.
Yes.
Oh, I wanted to be ordained.
Her husband was going to do it, but she was raised with a pastor, a very well-known pastor in where she grew up. And she could respect my religious beliefs and give me a little bit of that and still give Jeremy his non-religious beliefs or whatever you want to call it, right? I mean,
you know what? Sorry to interrupt that leads me into this conversation because I know you guys have, like, I don't think we've ever had that conversation. So you had it. Did you have a religious upbringing or has it been later in life that you...
I was raised with God and Jesus and understanding those things. I was christened as a newborn, in the Church of England.
Yeah.
I have godparents so I was raised with all of those things and I did spend time in churches
and now,
growing up.
You don't go to church, but
I don't,
but you're a believer.
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, the angels around my house are there for a reason.
How does that work though, Jeremy? Like what are you, you're just like, you're indifferent, right? Like, yeah, you're agnostic. Yeah, are you more, I think you're more agnostic or are you?
Yeah, we've had that conversation before. I just say atheist cause it's easier, agnostic, whatever you want to call it.
But to you, it's like, you know, I think like sometimes in relationships, it's like, is this battle worth having? Right. And sometimes if for you, right, it's if your threshold is whatever.
I think it becomes more of a battle if you're trying to have kids. You know what I mean? Because, you know, if you're no. The reason why I say that, because you're religious, you're not. Right. But if you guys were trying to have kids and once you have kids, you might say, well, I want my kids to go through all that. And the husband be like, yeah, no, I don't, that's where that can become a problem. Or you just compromise and say, you know, whatever, you do you, happy wife, happy life. But that can be a big thing between people, right?
Let me ask you this. Yeah. So if you because you believe, why don't you attend? Because I have my reasons, but sure. I just want to know yours.
I had some bad experiences. I did have a church I loved. A ex-Marine was actually the pastor there. He was amazing.
Did he touch you?
Stop. Lord. Well, my God. Anyways.
Who invited this guy?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You said bad experience.
Wrong religion. You're talking about
priests. I'm not Catholic. No.
Catholics.
I'm kidding.
Anyway, great. So you had a bad experience and then because you're not, she does have kids and you're not, are you raising them with these ideas? And
I do. We do talk about it. I do try. My oldest, my son, who is 18 and a half, for those who don't know, he has chosen the path of Jeremy at this point, and he will tell me. We lost one.
Don't do it, Hunter. Don't do it.
I think he'll come back around.
Another one bites the dust.
No, yeah, he'll come back around. It's just
make your own decision, Connor.
Things have happened. Things have happened in his life that right now he's just why. So,
you know, we all go through that,
right?
I mean, like this is kind of the same thing. You know, around that age, you go through this, you know, rebellious stage because you rebel against what you were raised with, right? And I went through that, you know, but as I get older, I'm starting to go back to the, well, you know what, maybe these are actually good values and these are good, rituals and customs that are there that kind of convey the message and preserve that message because
the morality.
If there's no institutions, then how do you reinforce these ideas? And
well, shouldn't the family be doing that?
Yeah, but like, is it? Like, if it's left
to whether the family's doing it or not, they should be, right? My parents, I grew up Christian. We went to church.
Did?
Oh, yeah. I went to church every Sunday and right, I don't know, my mid-teens or whatever, I stopped going. You know, we would go to Sunday school and all that stuff.
Now, is it just you or is it the rest of your brothers?
My brothers.
All the same way?
All three of us went.
You guys just left it or?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I don't know when my brothers did it. I want to say it was right around the time my older brother started working. So he would work on Sundays, so he wouldn't go to church with us. And then, you know, my mom, after a while, just stop fighting the fight, right? Because it's a pain in the butt to get teenagers into the car to go to church on a Sunday when they want to sleep in, right?
So let me ask you this. So, all right, so you did, you know, you grew up in it and everything. But would you say, even though that you're agnostic, but would you say that a lot of the values of virtues that you learned through there has carried on with you as an adult, and like it kind of shaped the way you think about things. Like,
Of course, when you learn those things as a child, they stick with you. But you know, I guess we've had discussions about this before. Is it the church's responsibility to inflict that upon me, or is it my mother and father's responsibility to teach me that murder is bad? You know, that whatever commandment that is. Can you name it?
No, we can't. Hold on. He can't do it.
Is it the second?
Thou shalt not kill. I don't know. That's the Second Amendment, man.
That's the second command. No.
Is it the second one? All right.
I honestly don't know what.
Right. So anyways, you know, is it the church's responsibility to tell me that there is some all-seeing being that is going to punish me after I'm dead for breaking one of his rules? Or is it my mom and dad's responsibility to say, hey, you know, would you want to be killed? No. Well, then you shouldn't kill other people.
Based on what though? Like on your, just
based
how you
on
feel?
What? My mom and dad telling me that it's wrong.
Yeah. Like, cause
do you not think that murdering people is wrong?
Yeah. But the reason I do is because I was raised with these ideas. All Western.
Well, you were raised with values that they don't necessarily have to come from the church.
Right. But they
can be the same. Well, yes, they did. They can be the same values coming from the church and coming from my parents. Oops, sorry. But that doesn't have to come from one or the other.
Yeah, but I kind of agree with you with that because same thing. Like I grew up, you know, and the things that I learned at church, you know, and whenever I wasn't making fun of the priest in his sermons.
You were touched as a child.
No, I wasn't touched. Okay. Like I always used to make fun of like with him, with
bad
him,
touch.
The Holy Arm.
Bad touch, bad touch.
I got a bad touch over here.
So anyway.
He touched himself.
But like all the stuff you learned in like CCD, you know, which is the equivalent of like Sunday school and all that.
CCD.
They call it CCD, Catholic something, something. But anyway.
Is CCV really Catholic?
No, CCD. Like that's what they would call it, right? So instead of going to Sunday school, we used to do it like Tuesday, Thursday, whatever. And you read part of the Bible, you hear stories and all this stuff, but a lot of the things that you know that I would hear there, I also heard at home. And my parents weren't like diehard Catholics and all that stuff.
Right,
but the values that I had at home kind of got reiterated there, and it kind of okay. My parents, I always think, are full of shit. But when I hear somebody else say it, I'm like, okay, maybe so, you know, when multiple people say the same story and it sounds right, a lot of times like. I still got to see for myself, but there's a logic button that says, okay, if they say, you know, treat people with respect, don't kill, and they're saying the same thing here in a different way in Jesus and all this, but okay, it makes sense.
So you need a larger entity than your parents to tell you that something is right or wrong?
Yes.
Some people do that.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I guess I...
Yeah. Well, see, like, I get what you're saying, because then it makes it seem like, oh, so you would be a murderer. If there was no, and honestly, like I can say I probably wouldn't. However, I do live in a society and a culture that had been influenced a lot by these ideas. So
religious ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Let's set another example. Me and you, we agree on a capitalistic system over a socialistic idea. Do we not? Okay.
Yeah, of course.
So when somebody comes up with these utopian ideas to spread the wealth, right? And it sounds good, right? It sounds nice, but you
sounds
do that
horrible to me. But okay,
well,
it's terrible.
No, I mean because you see, if but they mean well is what I'm trying to get at, right?
Well,
but let me finish my thought. Okay. So, but these people have these ideas from the comforts of capitalism, right? They haven't seen the poverty around the world that comes from these ideas, right? Because when you impede people from being able to pursue however rich they want to be, you then stagnate the society and then you create lazy people, right? Yeah. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is that socialism breeds within the capitalistic ideas, and the same I can apply the same thought process to atheism within the confines of a moral society that has been influenced by Christendom, right? You have these ideas and you can say, well, no, I can be good just by myself. Maybe you can, but I don't think societies can survive these ideas, because as soon as you start breaking these institutions and say, we don't need it. Great. What do you fill this in? What do we fill it with? What do we replace it with?
So, like, I guess an example that comes to my mind, and I don't necessarily know if it's the answer, but Santa Claus, right? Yep. As a child, you know, we tell our children, you know, especially around, you know, October, November is when it kicks in. It's like, well, Santa's watching. Santa's watching, you know. If you can swap out Santa and God, you know, God just happens to be around every Sunday instead of once every year.
I agree. I used to say that all the time.
Yep. Yeah. And so, okay. And so, you know, it's, you've got this.
But for me, that reinforces the idea that it works.
Well, sure, it works.
Because if you don't have that, then you'd have, you know.
Well, right, but the Santa Claus, Santa Claus only works until you stop believing.
Right, but God doesn't. God is eternal, in a sense, right? Because there are people who will always hold that.
Well, no, because I stopped believing.
Right.
I to tell you the truth, I don't know if I ever did believe, but at some point I said, I'm done. This is not for me. Right. Goodbye, right? But the values.
Santa Claus and God.
Both.
Well, yeah. Probably around the same time frame.
I just realized that I'm Santa Claus, so.
You're God.
Wait, I'm God. Wait a minute.
Oh, stop.
Well, oh, see what yeah, no.
This is
oh
what happens.
No. So anyways.
Well, because if you're God, then any decision that you make is infallible.
I'm not God. All right. First of all, let me just clarify. I'm not God.
Take that drink away from him, please.
Well, let me go back.
Okay, go ahead.
On the importance of having a separated entity and not it be my interpretation of what's good, because ultimately that's what saying.
I'm not relying on you to grow up and know what's right and wrong, because inherently you don't.
Then
as a child, they lie, they steal, and society, I think, is the one that impresses upon you that no,
but
you cannot
societies
steal
have
from
been
others.
Wrong in history, man.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so that's why I don't trust society. Look,
all right. So it should be up to your parents to give, and not necessarily just your parents, but your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your grandparents. They need to impress upon you, no, what you are thinking about doing or what you are doing is wrong, right? Or it, you know, nip it in the bud up front and say, well, no, you can't just go out and stab the homeless guy on the corner. You know, that's not appropriate. Or you can't go out and kick the dog or, you know, shoot your BB gun.
Based on what?
Your parents.
Yeah, but your parents are not infallible. Your parents make mistakes, and you will soon realize.
Well, it's more than just your parents, though. It's everybody, right?
Yeah, but then
because,
what reinforces
like you said,
it?
You're not going to listen to your parents.
No.
But you may listen to your favorite uncle.
That's what
your Uncle Timmy. Yeah. Or your, you know, Grammy or Poppy or somebody. You're somebody in that family structure is going to have, let's face it, we'll probably all have this. Someone in that family structure is going to have more influence over you than your parents, because your parents are just the people that are always trying to be mean to you.
And what about people who don't have
that? But you're looking to society to do something also that right now society's not doing. I mean,
no, I don't. I'm not saying society. I'm saying family, because
not everybody has good family values or
well, that's true. That's true. And not all people have good religions,
right? No, I agree. No, but that's why I make the distinction between the Western Judeo-Christian religions that have allowed for this type of society. So let's go and apply it to see how it was applied on this country, right? So when the founders were writing the documents, especially when the Declaration of Independence, they reference we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, right? And so but they hold on to a supreme being, some entity that is separated from humanity, from our parents, from that uncle who's going to give me good advice. They hold an entity up there that has given us this rights because people make mistakes. And if we don't have that, if we say, hey, you know what, we can be good because we ourselves decide to be good. What's to say that collectively as a society, one day we come out and say, well, you know what? Maybe this is not good for this particular set of people. And that has happened in society. And so that's why I believe that separating that and saying, hey, there is somebody up there who's watching you, as crazy as it sounds, it works. Because those rights come from up here and they're not man-made.
Right. Yeah. They're not given to you. They're already yours.
Yeah.
So I understand
you're endowed by your creator.
There's countries, let's just say southern from us, not necessarily Mexico, so don't get all mad.
Venezuela.
Venezuela, whatever you want to call them. But when you look at these countries.
Get that racist shit out of here. I'm just kidding. That's Tim's favorite word.
Yeah, okay. So, but basically, a lot of these countries, they have very Christian beliefs, right?
Yes.
Is that the correct assumption?
Yeah.
So, but they also have, the Christians have this idea of forgiveness, right? You can go. You confess your sins.
Redemption.
You go and you confess your sins, and they're wiped. You're wiped clean, right? Yep.
Every Sunday.
And I've heard people discussing how these countries are some of the most corrupt in the world, mm-hmm. and the reason, or some people have suggested that the reason why they are is because of the religions that are dominant in these countries. Mm-hmm. It's like you can be bad your entire life, and on your deathbed,
yes,
God, I'm sorry for what I did.
Well. If you look at a lot of the stories in the Bible, they're full of men who become corrupted, and even men that God chooses, these people become corrupted. Sure. Because human nature is human nature. You know, going back to that, the uniqueness about this country, which when I heard this, it shined a light went out, and I was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. And this is what it is. When Europeans were coming to the Americas. And if you notice in Latin America was predominantly Catholic,
right? The Spanish settlers.
And if you look at Northern America, you had everything.
French,
you
had English,
the evangelical, you had the, Spanish, you know what I'm saying? So they were separated from, there was even Protestants, people who were protesting.
Puritan.
And so then exactly. So the, even the religions were very diverse.
Right.
And so what ended up happening was that you got all these 13 colonies who have different ideas, different religions, different everything. And then they want to create a union. And what ended up happening was, and this is why people use the separation of church and state clause to say that we need to get God out of there. But this is what ultimately was the thing, was that these people, they realized, hey, we need to create a union. But I don't agree with New England's version of their interpretation of God. However, I believe that God is important. And so that's why they left that. Their goal was not to have a unifying church like all of South America had. South America, it was the Catholic Church.
Right.
And because they didn't do that, that was what allowed the corruption, because there was one entity that determined what would happen to the rest of all Latin America, because that's how powerful the Catholic Church was. Whereas here, people had to decide, hey, we need to create a union. However, let's separate this religion aspect of it. We are believers, but we are not going to create one central church. And that was genius, because if you realize the history of the church, it did become corrupt. Mm-hmm. I mean, it had its benefits, but it did become corrupt. And the reason it became corrupt is because there's human beings are corrupt.
Right. Humans are infallible. You know, mm-hmm. they're not infallible.
Power. Yeah. You get money, you get power. You know, I mean, you see it all over the place, right? I mean, throughout time, the bigger you get, the more power you get, the more corrupt, because that power corrupts all, you know? I mean,
yeah, I think I've heard you say what ultimate power corrupts ultimately. What is it?
Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts power absolutely. Yeah. That's not ideal. What is it called? Original to me, but
but
it is. we're not philosophers. You know what I'm saying.
So I met with the religion, and so I met with a client today, this week, and he made the comment to me. Very religious man, and his wife passed away a couple weeks ago, so I went to go just sit with him and do what I could, just being there to listen or whatever it was, make sure he was okay. Older man, 85 years old. And he decided to speak quite a lot about church, children, family, and a lot more about church, which I'm okay with that. I love that he was comfortable to share his thoughts and whatever. But as I'm leaving and he gives me a hug, whatever, he looks at me and he says, Heidi, I just want to remind you. And he holds his hands up and he puts his thumbs together like a football.
Yeah, a goalpost.
Goalpost, yes. And he says, just remember. Heaven has one way in and one way out.
Like my asshole.
And then he opens his hands. Wait a minute. Are you ready? It's going to get better. He opens his hands and he spreads them out and he says, and hell has no borders.
wow. So
build the wall.
No, build the wall.
Build the wall.
Stop, we just went there.
I'm sorry.
We don't need to go there, guys.
I couldn't help but share that. That is and that's a true story. That really is what happened.
Don't let anybody in, right?
That really is what happened this week with that client. It was
So let me put this back on you, dude, because, I mean, as you're talking about, you know, as you're getting older, you're starting to really see the importance again of religion and everything and your beliefs. Do you ever plan on going back?
Yeah.
Now, how does that play into what? Because you went to a very, I guess you were in a very strict church.
Yeah.
So how does that play into you not wanting to give up your
freedoms?
Your freedoms of alcohol and.
Yeah. I mean,
well, do you have to give up? Alcohol?
No,
alcohol.
I mean, no. Jesus made wine, man. So, like, that's one of the things that, like,
so I understand that. So
why would he make wine?
Well, hold on. So from that aspect, we agree, yes. But if you're, if the virtues of your church say that's bad, would you go back to that same style of church? No. That's what I'm trying to get at. No. You wouldn't go back. You would go back to
a
Christian church, you know, just an openly Christian church that, you know.
This started with your question about being brought up in the church. And my dad was brought up in a Southern Methodist Florida church. My understanding, I'm pretty sure it was Methodist, not Baptist, but it was still that Southern Florida. And back in, you know, the late 40s, early 50s and in early 60s that he grew up in, it was hellstone brim. I mean, hellfire
fire and brimstone.
Yeah, hellfire brimstone that he was raised in, and it was at home, and it was in the church, and it was at school. So he walked away and straight away from that church. And so one of the biggest things that they did with us, my brother and I, is we attended a lot of different churches. We went to Lutheran churches. We went to Protestant, Baptist, Methodist. I went to a Jewish temple.
Really?
I did get the chance to go to a Catholic church setting. I don't know if it was exactly the same because I know there's different if you're a Catholic or not. He took us to the Vatican. He took us to the Church of England. I mean, he and my mom made sure that we were exposed to all those things. Mm-hmm. And their biggest thing for us as kids growing up was there's a God, and that God is the same God for every different religion you want to pick on out there. Mm. To your point with the U.S. and the way we were brought together as a nation in the very beginning, God is God. You can call him whatever you want. You can worship him however you want. You can put all your fine tuning on it however you want. But in every setting, there was God.
But let me ask you this. What do you think about those religions that say God calls you to kill yourself in a bomb and destroy as many innocent people as you can?
Sure. So
is that the same God?
Absolutely an extremist. Again, it's God is God. They choose to worship and to believe that he has given some different order. With all of the Islam stuff and the Muslim and this extremist stuff that's going on in our society right now.
There's extreme Christians too.
I have an uncle that he's stinking psycho and he's a Christian.
Not at the level. Well, not at the same level.
So
just not.
But it's still an extremist. Yeah. My dad went out and he's like, that's it. I want to understand what it is. Why are we so scared as a nation of Muslims and this Islam belief? And what is it? So he did. He went out. He did his studying. He did his research. And he found out they're extremists, just like every other religion that has extremists in it. Yeah. They're extremists. Yeah. My uncle, he's a very Christian man. He is an extremist. Would I put it past him to kill for his religion? Absolutely not. I'll tell you right now, I do believe that he could be a crazy enough at some point.
I think me and you have had this discussion because, me and you, we can agree that there's certain sectors of that religion that are extremist and are doing chaos in the world. Okay. But if we take all the deaths that religion and all religions combined, and we compare it to the murder and death that non-religious have caused on the earth, it does not even compare. When you take Mao, Pol Pot, Stalin, all these were people who abolished the institution of religion and said, religion is for the to control the masses. That was their message. These people killed hundreds of millions of people. So I'm not justifying, you know, radical
group, I'm Christ, not either, right?
Christians or radical crazy religious groups. But if we compare it to not having a God, in my opinion, and I think we've had this discussion, if I'm to take into the Crusades, right? Because a lot of people will try to give, oh, well, religion causes war. Okay, sure, I'll give you the Crusades. Sure, religion caused that, which at its peak killed maybe 15,000 to 30,000 people.
No, they estimated that 1.7. I looked it up. Historically,
1.7 what?
Yeah, million. Okay, it was millions.
From the Crusade, but so, it doesn't equate to what.
Yeah, and now look at how much Pol Pot. Exactly. Look at Stalin. Look at Pol Pot. Look at Mao Zedong.
Hitler.
All these people were part of the socialist, you know, abolish religion, because that's what they do. And so if religion has to account for that, then atheism has to account for everything else.
Well, of course they're trying to abolish religion. Religion is what is giving people those values and those morals that they don't want you to have.
Exactly, so, because if you have that, then you don't rely on the state.
Yeah, we have that going on in our own country right now, for God's sakes.
If God is the ultimate...
If you don't have morality, you rely on the state?
Yes, because I'll give you an example.
Please do.
If people who give generously to the poor... do it out of their heart and because God wants you to treat the downtrodden right, and He wants you to help. That's the message.
Yeah.
How and if you look at somebody who expects the state to do it, they'll be like. And again, I gave this example in my last podcast, which was, you know, I dated this girl who had a millionaire father who ended up telling her go apply at DES for help, and in his mind, it's like, well, it's there. Why not take advantage of it? And so again, the message is: I no longer have to be responsible for you when there is a system that is supposed to take care of you. And so to us, and that's why you see Western civilization, America in particular, is the most generous country. And it's not because of, you know, we are just better people. It's because we have better values and better morals, and it's Western civilization that has allowed this.
So these Southern countries that we were talking about earlier,
yeah,
they have these values, right, that are inbred into the government itself. Are they generous?
Not necessarily.
With theirs?
So a lot of the Latin American...
Well, not necessarily what? They're not necessarily generous, or they're not necessarily ingrained into the government?
It wasn't. So they emulated a lot of the American Republic, right, form of government. They did. So they have, like, the equivalent of a legislative body, of a court system, of an executive branch. They're all called republics.
Okay.
And all Latin America is called republics. The missing piece for them was that idea that God is the ultimate giver of these ideas. They don't have it like we do. In other words, they don't have the Bill of Rights. They don't have, hey, you have a right to the Second Amendment. They have these systems. But for us, and that's what was the brilliance about it, was that they had to outline that. There was a lot of debate initially with the founding fathers when they said, well, why do we need to specify these rights when it's obvious? And a lot of them argued it's not obvious and people will lose it. And so that's why we have the Bill of Rights, the freedom of speech, the right to bear arms and all everything else along with it. And it was and so they're missing that piece. Now, they do have religion. However, at that time, the Catholic Church had a lot of power and influence in that.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what inhibited them from being able to...
The monarchy and everything.
Exactly.
Was, you know, lock, stock, and barrel. They're all marching the same direction.
Right. And now, you know, and so even look at the Catholic Church, right? They have religion, right? They have God. But right now, the Pope is the most... He's like freaking a loony lefty. You know, yeah. He believes crazy socialist ideas. And they have God. But... to me, you need a combination of both. You need a combination of, yes, God, but you also need a combination of having rights for individuals, having that capitalistic mentality. Because socialism, look, one of the main disagreements that I've had with people who are religious, it's always been this. I remember talking to people and I said, hey, you know what? No, we as Christians, we have to fight against all this stuff. And they're like, well, you know what? The rapture's coming and this is already foretold, and we're just going to accept it. And
screw, to me, screw them all, let God sort them out.
Yeah, and to me, it's like, no, no. While we're still here in this planet, we will fight for the right things, because then those people are hoping and are wishing that their actions will bring forth the second coming of God, you know, of Jesus, because that's what they believe. And to me, that exactly, to me, that's like you. It's ridiculous to think that you can influence God's decisions. You can't. And so while we're here, we have to do everything that we can to keep society to a point where we protect individual rights and have, you know what I mean, like have a good society, basically.
So let me ask you this. So do you believe that you should leave this place better than how you found it?
Mm-hmm.
What have you done in your mind that is making this place better than when you came in?
Nothing, man. I mean,
no, think about it. No, no, think about
honest.
It.
Honest.
No, no, honest. No,
but
fair.
Think about that. No, but think about that, right? We all say we all have these virtues and we feel a certain way. But then when it really comes down to it, what have we all done to truly make this place better, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about things, but like, what do we really do, right? And it's not saying that you got to find the cure for cancer to make this place better.
I think a great answer for that is you have the conversation. Right, and you stand your ground on your values and your beliefs.
Yeah, I think setting a good example for others is just as powerful as anything
else.
Well,
that's what I'm asking. What do you feel constitutes?
I read this thing once, and it said, "What was the message?" It said, "Teach people," and it was religious and it said something about like I'm really butchering this, but the message was ultimately teach people the good message. And if you have to, use words, right?
Actions speak louder.
Exactly. But when I read that, I was like, that sounds beautiful. But a lot of times you do have to speak up, right? Because I could live my life accordingly and walk in and out of my life and live great. But if I don't relay that message to somebody, to my friend who I hang out with, I just live that to myself, then I think it should be a combination of both. You should speak about it. And you should, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, and I think this right here, having a conversation about
that's
it.
What I'm saying. Like, what was my main...
Could I do more? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but...
We could all do more.
We could all do more.
More is infinite, right? There's always more. Yeah.
But that's what I was asking. Like, if you believe in it, what do you feel is the way to make it better, right? Like, how do you... Like, in
I don't
your
know.
Mind, you see, I think about that all the time, right? I mean... We all try to do the right thing, but... Doing the right thing doesn't mean you're making.
If it came
better.
Down to fighting for Western civilization, I hope that I would take arms and fight for it. Mm. But I don't know myself.
Mm. Yeah, you have to be put in that situation to know how you would react.
Because I would like to say, oh yeah, I'd fight for it. But who knows if I'd be like, I'm whatever you want me to be, man. You know what I'm saying? No, I hope that I can cling on to my values and my morals and my convictions. But, you know, when the feet is on the fire.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easy to say, hypothetically, if somebody kicked in the door right now we'd fight them off. Boy, we'd all be like, okay, we're done. You know what I mean? Because you start valuing, okay, I don't have a weapon on me, you know? This guy's got the high ground. Like, what? Okay, is my life really worth the cell phone?
I have
you know
a story, I mean? Something very similar to that. I went to Israel. This was back in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. I was a kid. I don't know if I've told you this.
Yeah,
story. And I don't know. I may have told you. So anyway, so I go to Israel, and I remember Bethlehem. It was under Palestinian control, right? Now, it doesn't look like how it looked back when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They've built a church there, and then they have a shrine, and there's all this other stuff. Anyway, so there's this room, and the room is probably like this size, right? It fits maybe like 50, 40 people at capacity, right? It's a small room, one entrance this way and the other entrance that way. They exit that way. And what they do is they just cram people in, and you go all the way. So we were the first ones in, and we go all the way to the back. And so we're waiting while groups go out, right? Lines goes out like that, right? And there was this group of I'm gonna say they were from Africa because they were all black, and then they were praying. They were Christian, and again the Palestinians had control of this, and so you see Palestinian soldiers, And, you know, this group of African Christians, they're all the way at the front and they're praying, right? And in unison, they all kneel down and they're like saying this prayer. And I guess the Palestinians, you know, soldiers didn't like it. And they were like yelling and screaming. They were literally pointing guns at the at one of the guy's heads, dude. They're like this, yelling. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, it freaked me out, man. I freaked out. And I'm looking at this and I don't know how to react. Like, all, none of us, the group of people that I was with, we didn't know what to do. We were like shocked, homie. And then I see the Palestinian soldier kick one of the guys in the face, dude, like just literally with a boot in the face, and it knocks him down. But he doesn't get up. Like, he continues praying. They all continue praying. They're like not oblivious to the yelling and the threats, dude. And then finally they get up in unison after these guys are literally, I thought they were going to just start shooting. I was like, oh my God, I don't want to see this. They get up in unison and they just walk out. And I remember after that, I didn't even want to see the shrine. I didn't want to do nothing. I just wanted to get out of there. I was like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Like and so, you know, when you're faced with something like that, you know, you would say, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to keep my cool. No. Like, I almost shit my pants. No, I'm right. Serious. Like, it was.
The gun wasn't even on you.
And it wasn't even on me, exactly.
It was just that you were in the presence.
It was like, you know, that and who is to stop it? You know what I mean? Like, it was
all right. Crazy. You're in a foreign country. You don't necessarily understand the rules.
Yep.
It may be illegal for them to be doing what they're doing. You don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to hop into the middle of a situation where the next thing you know, you're in jail or you're being strung out in the courtyard. You know, you don't know. You just, if that was to happen in America, you'd be... Would you have, if it had happened in America, would you have, do you think you may have handled it a little differently?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right, because you know more of the situation.
One, I would have understood what they were yelling, what they were saying.
Well,
but
I don't think you can say that you would have done something differently or not. There's no way for you to know that. You weren't.
Right, you have to be in that situation to know what you would do in that situation, but...
Yeah, I don't think in America. Okay. I don't think in America a cop is going to kick somebody in the face before kneeling down and praying.
That's not necessarily true. We have cities in our country right now that are going through that.
Yeah, very Dearborn. Thing.
Dearborn. There's another one in Texas. Oh, yeah. There's another city in Texas.
Dude, I sent him. I sent him a video or a post.
I don't think.
Listen to this. Is this crazy? Like, they're in New York, dude. In New York, they are driving...
Oh, the police cars.
Yeah, they're driving police... They look like police cars, but they're called what? Muslim...
Yeah.
In other words, they're enforcing Muslim...
Law.
Yeah, sure.
Law.
Law.
Yeah.
In New York, and they're driving cars that look like
cop cars.
New York cop cars. And I'm like, how does nobody look at this and say, this cannot happen here?
So, in Arizona, I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure we have laws against... civilians driving around vehicles that are placarded like police cars. It's against the law.
It is. I think they get around
it. It is nationwide.
Well, I think what it is the lights.
Yeah.
I think
right. The light bars.
I don't think it's the placards.
Okay, you think they put light bars on Capri Classics and driving them around New York and arresting people for breaking Sharia law?
They look like cop cars. They have the same colors.
Yeah. Right.
That's why I was like, what? Yeah. This is freaking...
And Texas. So when, I'm telling you, the same thing happened in Texas. And it was Texas, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that blows my mind.
And to me, that scares me because now you have like... I don't know if you've heard of the two Muslim women who were... like one of them is freaking has come out and like basically, you know, has posted stuff talking about against Jews and like and this person is like I don't know if she's a congresswoman. Yeah, she's a congresswoman.
No, they're in those offices, right? They're in those positions and in those offices. We know that.
Yeah.
They're not quiet about their positions where they stand in the government.
The people elected them, and they're representing the people of that area.
But to me, that's right,
What's unfortunate is people that even spew hate to their whatever. The fact this people tend to forget that this country does have a lot of hate in it, regardless of how we want to slice it. There are people out there that they still want things. Back in old times, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of hate in this country. It's just a lot of people hate towards people. You know, you have people that don't like Jews in this country, that don't like, you know, they don't like Hispanics, they don't like, you know, they still don't like African American. You know, like, there's still a lot of it. It's not as prevalent as it is, but it still exists, and it's just like
to me, people, it's not institutionalized, right?
It's not.
Right, and I don't think he's saying that. He's just saying that there are people out there that are assholes.
You can't do anything about that.
But that's going to happen no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be people who hate you for wearing that blue shirt.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean,
there's going to be people that, you know, if you have an asshole next door neighbor, right, they're going to hate you just because you're there. They don't care what you are.
See, for me, I tread lightly when it comes to identifying people who hate, because where does it end? Right? We're going to have thought police now? Are we going to, oh, you hate, therefore what? Therefore you shouldn't be able to be on social platforms?
Well, I'm sorry. People, they're already doing that at school. I'm sorry. I have a 9-year-old that came home and I got a letter from the teacher in my email because she hurt another kid's feelings with her opinion.
Wow.
And so it's okay for that child to have an opinion, but my child's not allowed to because it didn't conform with the teachers and with the school and what they were trying to do, and it hurt this little boy's feeling.
I hate that word agenda, but it's so...
It is. There's a movement.
So what, I'm like, Bella, I'm sorry. Let's not use the word stupid, but you can have your opinion. What are you supposed to do? So I said, come home. Let us know. My dad got on board. My dad's like, you come home. Yeah. He talked to Bella. He says, Bella, you come home and you let mommy and daddy know, or mommy and poppy and know, and we'll take care of it. We'll take it to the school and we'll deal with it. But she had an opinion that something was lame, was the word she used. It was a fun run. They're earning money for the school that we already pay a ton of money for. And Bella said, I don't want the money to go to that fun run. I'm going to ask for people to give the money to my bank account, my savings account.
Capitalist.
Right.
Sorry.
And she says, it's lame. And this little boy was offended and he cried.
Oh, wow. A boy?
Yes, a young. Oh, yep.
This is 9-year-old. We can get started on that.
Don't even get
Gillette
me going.
Commercial.
And
all over
and my child.
Here we go.
Right. So my child got in trouble because she had an opinion, and it did not meet the same opinion as everybody else.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
We can go on and on about this. I mean.
But that's where we're headed to, right? You better fit in this little box, and you better agree with what we're teaching you now, so you can be the soldier we need you to be in 20 years.
Yeah. For me, you have good intentions. These people have good intentions. But,
you know,
but
I hear
good
you say that a lot. Say that a lot.
You don't
think
so?
I don't know anymore.
Really?
I don't know. Do they?
You think they have malevolent?
They have an agenda. I hate using that word, but it's the appropriate word.
What
they
do you
have
think
an
the agenda,
agenda
is?
The agenda is that... hold on a second.
Collect your thoughts.
Ask me the question again.
Well, I mean, because I said I believe that they have good intentions.
The good intentions. Yeah. All right. So good intentions are all fine and well, but the problem is their intentions aren't good. Their intentions are for you to fall in line with their agenda.
I disagree. I disagree with you.
Okay.
I don't think to Nelson's point, I think that they have good intentions. They think they're doing, hold on, they think they're doing the right thing by teaching,
which
right?
is their agenda.
But they're teaching what they believe, just like we are at home. I mean, we are active parents, so we teach them at home what our good intentions are. Who's to say we're right or wrong? Mm-hmm. It's a perspective. Everybody has a different perspective. Mm-hmm. For me, no, I disagree. You need to have your opinion and not worry about little Joe's feelings, because if that's the case, we're all going to tip-tap around. Then you're going to be an adult in the working world and you're going to tip-tap and toe around.
My thing is, where does it end?
Right. Right. I think that's the problem with schools is that
it doesn't end. Sorry.
If everybody's offended,
then no one's offended.
I'm offended that you're offended.
If everyone's offended, no one's
offended. It ends at home, but home is not what it used to be.
Elaborate on that. What do you mean by that?
Home is not what it used to be. Home is no longer the place where parents are there to raise the children, to teach the children, to fill in. You should be going to school to learn how to do what? Read, write, and do math. For crying out loud, that's your job as a teacher. But that's not it anymore.
It's more to that.
Now it's, let me teach you how to read the way I want you to read. Let me teach you how to do math the way that I want you to do it. I'll teach you how to write the way I want to because. In the meantime, let me cut out pieces of history that are critical and crucial and real.
I heard this survey. There was a survey that was done, right? And it was across all nationalities, different countries. And the question, so they did, they gave these kids a test, a math test. And then they asked them, how do you feel you did on the test? Right. And, you know, they all answered how they felt. And then they compared it to how they really did. Right. And so who do you think did the best out of all the
ones who thought they did the worst?
So let's just go by nationalities first. Mm-hmm. So the Asian countries did the best in math. Sure. Okay. Who do you think did the worst?
Americans.
Yeah. Who do you think were the most confident about their results?
Americans.
Who do you think that were the least confident?
Asians.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. So to me, that proves the point that confidence doesn't equate to excellence. Mm-hmm. And now do I think that we should apply the way that Asians are raised and like strict and like no confidence? I don't know. But I know that the way that we're doing it is not, you know, because you have a lot of people who are confident mm-hmm. in their idiocy. Sure. Yes. Do you see what I'm saying? And that to me is wrong. You can't be confident about fucking bad results.
Right. So I have to really quick with three kids, right? Why am I teaching my children math, reading, and writing at home?
Why are you?
Because that's the assignment set home. If I'm not doing it at home, it's not being taught anymore.
Being taught in school?
They're being taught the social be kind.
Are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. I've heard of this. I didn't know.
Kids are not doing cursive at school the way they should be because it's coming home to be teach it at home. At one point, they told me point blank in a conference, 70% of this child's math will be taught at home. Because they're busy dealing with the social aspects of things in the school. And guess what? Bullshit.
So that's the problem.
Teach them, send them home. Your job is teach reading, math, writing. Right. Let me do the rest. That's my job as mom.
You're supposed to teach them the social.
Right.
That's where we, in the beginning, talk about with the religions and the values and the family, you know, doing the right thing. If I go to school, like if I disrespect somebody at school, I would get in trouble.
Right.
Right. Then I would probably get into a fight, either win or lose, right?
Right.
But if I get a phone call home saying, hey, your son was disrespectful, I'm going to take care of his ass when he gets home, right?
Absolutely.
Grounded, beat up. But we knew already, like, we all talk shit to each other. Yeah, and once you get to high school, you're punks, you say whatever. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I went to school, all went to school, and we learned. I didn't come home, and my parents teach me about anything except for life and get a job.
Yeah,
I know what I mean. Like they didn't.
I had to teach my 9-year-old a couple weeks ago how to find the area of a rectangle. Mm-hmm. She comes home and she's like, "The teacher did it on the board. You know, she just gave us the answers on the board." And she's like, "I don't understand how to do this." I'm like, "Well, you take this."
What
if
you didn't know how to do that? Hold on. What if you didn't know how to do that?
I didn't know how to do that.
Yeah, I can tell you right now. If my kid brought that home, I'm terrible. I'm terrible at math.
Okay. I was able to sit down.
This is the same child though that got written up, and we got a notice sent home because she called something lame. Yeah. This is the same kid.
This is a parent's problem.
So hold on. So here, I have a theory about this, and please don't leave me out to dry on this because I need you guys' engagement. And I'll tell you why, because what I'm about to say, it will sound sexist, but it really is not. I need you guys to be engaged because
Let's rock this.
I know one time we talked about it and I was just like crickets and I'm like, I need people to get, my point is this. So George Washington didn't have a formal education.
Right.
And he was a brilliant man. Mm-hmm. I mean, aside from the virtues that he had, he was a brilliant man. He taught himself. Okay. So now compare it to today. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we don't have that anymore. Now, before, who was predominantly teaching kids?
Their parents.
What sex?
The mother.
No.
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 Oh, men. Back in George Washington's day, it was men.
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 Yeah.
Men were teaching. Right. Now, what did men not care about? What's the exact
right.
Men's aspect or approach is right. like, I don't care whether you want to do this or not. This you're is what you're going to learn and you're going to do it.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. That's male's approach. Now, right. whether it's right or wrong, I don't know. But all I'm saying is that during that time, if you compare the letters that soldiers were writing back home, the penmanship and just the vocabulary, the broad range of that they had, and these were young kids, dude. Yeah. And then and if you compare it to the writings of a equivalent age kid today, right. I know this sounds mean, but they're not writing at the level as right. before.
Right. I have
so let me just finish my thought here. Right. So then what happened? All right. There was a transition, right? And so then now who predominantly what sex is now teaching our kids?
So there was actually that shift even that long ago. They started pulling the men were at war. To your point, the men were at war. They weren't teaching anymore. So what did they do? They went out. Do you know what they did? They went out and they found teenage young girls that were fortunate enough to have a dad or to have that male teacher doing lessons. Yeah. And they brought those women in to replace the men.
Right.
Because they had to. Because the men were out there at war and there was a shift.
My point when I said that was not that women should not be teaching.
No, not at all. I'm not getting that. I didn't
no
take
one
that
ever
at all.
Thought that.
I'm just talking about the approach.
Right, right, exactly.
That I believe that we have over-feminized society.
Absolutely.
And that we have focused too much on feelings.
Absolutely.
Right? Because when you look at a male parent and the female, their approach is very different. So for a long time, we have placed these white collar jobs so high for everybody, right? If you go to college and you get a white collar job, that is the epitome of you've arrived. Exactly. That's a wrong message to send to all kids, because if you don't make it to that white collar job, then what, you're not successful? But there are so many blue collar jobs that are respectable and you can make a lot of money in.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And when we tell our kids that, no, you need to reach for being a lawyer, a doctor and all this. And it's like, no, you need to find what you are good at and what is going to make money. Look, what's his name? Mike Rowe. I love what he does. And he talks about,
because Mike Rowe was talking about that. He owns or he runs the Mike Rowe Foundation.
Micro Works.
Yes. It's a nonprofit or whatever.
Yeah.
And he gets manufacturers come to him, like Caterpillar, the huge, they build shit here.
Yeah.
Huge manufacturing. They cannot find welders.
Yeah.
They are willing to hire these guys out of tech school for six figures. Out of school, six figures, because they cannot find welders to weld their equipment together.
By the way, welders have always made really good money.
Well,
always.
But right now, the demand is there.
But the demand is there.
All blue collar. So even down to like Home Depot was running classes for vets when they came home to teach them a skill, to come in. They would teach them how to do plumbing and electrical work and construction because
these
skills are in need because, like you said, go to college. Put yourself in debt, get a great job.
Yeah.
But make...
Put yourself in $150,000 in debt and then try getting out of that for the next 20 years.
Okay. Or in women's studies.
So, hold on.
Well, international cinema.
What the fuck is that degree going to do?
Get the fuck out of here.
International cinema?
Yeah. Hold on, really quick.
Fuck out of
here. Wait, hold on really quick. Jesus. So, great you guys class. Are... go blue collar. You're putting all of that blue collar term on money.
Money.
Yeah.
Well, that's how they money? No, but that's how they used to equate it.
That's not, blue collar was not just a trade or money. It was not just that. It was a set of values and morals that went along with that
hard,
level.
Hard work.
It was work
versus
ethic.
It was work ethic, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So people, but you, I mean, we just saw that with a different dynamic of upbringing and blue collar immediately went to a job and money.
Yeah, because but that's there was what we a grew
heavy,
up in. That's what we grew up in.
Right, but you guys missed what you were growing up in. Mm-hmm. What about the values and the morals that you were taught? Hold on a minute. Now let's look at some of the white collar upbringing and the values and the morals that were taught in those things. Mm-hmm. That there's a difference there. We're seeing that in our society today. I was raised what I guess you would classify as a blue collar, right? My parents were military. Tight budget, whatever.
Sorry, is but military I was considered blue collar? Or is
I don't know.
Well, they do wear blue collars. So, I mean, that's how a lot of that started, right? Well,
yeah.
Because if you wore a blue collar, you wore a blue collar usually to work. That meant like, hey, you know, like you're working.
You're going to get dirty.
Yeah. The white collar was
a suit and tie.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was a different thing being taught, right?
But
it was.
Okay. Never mind. Sorry.
The work ethic was still the same.
Well, no.
All I'm saying is that we've placed an overemphasis on these jobs.
Right.
And we've overlooked everything else. And in my opinion, that has done a disservice to a lot of kids who could have, didn't have to necessarily go and get in so much debt to go to a college, and they could have had a great jobs. Look, there's a story that Mike Rowe gives, and it's actually a really good story. He says that when he was doing those dirty jobs, that show, he said he went to a, talking to one of the guys who did sewer work. What is that called? Like sanitary
sanitation.
Yeah,
sanitation.
One of these guys, like, literally, he's cleaning people's shit up.
Yeah.
Oh no, yeah, that's what. That's not sanitation.
But hold on. So he said this guy started doing this and he hated his job, and then eventually he started his own business, and now he makes a lot of money. Cleaning people's shit.
Yep.
Are you talking like septic service?
Yeah.
Is that what you're
thinking? Something like that. Yeah. And so this guy's got his own business, and it literally is cleaning shit.
Yeah.
And so he found joy, and this is the truth. He found joy in that when initially, and so that's the message. When we tell our kids and society, no, these are the jobs that you should strive for. You know what I mean? Like, not necessarily. You know what I mean? Like, that's the wrong message to send.
We're pushing all of our kids into college to get degrees in something that they're never going to use.
Well, it's a system. You're in the system. When you go to college and you put yourself in debt, but you're in debt to the government because the government owns the loans.
Right.
Hold on. You're in debt to, you know.
Colleges are businesses.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, when you have a government who guarantees that you don't even have to, when you go get a loan, they don't ask you, what was your GPA? They don't ask that.
So for clarification, you used to do this.
Yes.
Is it DeVry? ITT?
It was High Tech Institute and the
Bryman.
The Bryman.
Okay, the Bryman Institute.
The Student Loan Repayment Advisor. Yeah, so me. And so I would have students who would come in and be like, hey, I can't pay this loan. You know what I would tell them? And I mean.
And you were told to tell them this?
Yeah, because this is the job that I had. Was like, oh, you know, all you got to do is just get another more classes and you can defer this loan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did we ever ask how well did you do before?
Nope.
No. All it was is like, what's your social security number?
Is this the appropriate path for you to continue down?
Yeah, there was none of
that. Never asked
that. And so because schools are a business. And I love when I talk to teachers because they're like, well, I do it out of the goodness of my heart.
But that's why you went on strike because you.
Yeah, maybe you do that. But human beings are human beings. And there are lazy teachers. There should not be tenure.
Yeah.
Tell me what other industry has tenure.
None of them.
You should be able to fire bad teachers.
Yep.
But if you say this, oh my God, it's a blasphemy because you're like, oh, you don't care about teachers. No, I honestly don't. For me, I care about our kids learning. That's the question.
Right.
I mean, teachers, great. If you're a good teacher and you do it out of the goodness of their heart and you want to do it without pay, by all means, that's your deal.
So I mean, all of us have been to at least a little bit of college, right?
Yes.
I got my bachelor's.
Yeah.
So how many of your teachers, professors, whatever you want to call them, whatever level you're talking about, do you look back upon favorably? I mean, where you actually look back and go, he/she was a great teacher or a good teacher
from my bachelor's program?
Any of it.
Zero.
Kindergarten through master, whatever you want
to call it. I have one teacher.
Right. There's usually one. One out of how many did you have during that?
Exactly. Yes.
So
16 years of schooling.
Right. No.
I had three.
Maybe
that
one.
Made.
Maybe two.
One or two. Yeah. Out of how many? You know, you figure you had what, 8 classes a day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Times 12 years.
You're right. You're definitely
16
right.
years, 14 years, however long you went.
And you know why that guy?
I have one.
You know why that guy made an impression on me? This is a true story. And I actually saw him at a 10-year reunion. It was even longer. But it was my fifth grade teacher. And the reason that I liked this guy dude, I learned the national anthem with him. And what he would do is he would play the piano. That's where I got my inspiration to learn how to play the piano was when I saw him play. And he would play the whole national anthem. He was very patriotic. Dude, I loved it. And I think my initial like patriotism started there.
So
I met him years later and I said, you know what?
Thank you.
To me, thank you. Yes. Because, and he was moved because his wife was there. She used to teach as well. And when she heard that, they were there. And to me, it was the honest truth. Like you made an impression on me because you had values and you had something that was far greater than you. And you weren't trying to make me feel good. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You were telling me here is something that's better than you. And this is something that you should strive for. And that sticks with young kids. It sticks and it stuck with me.
Yeah, well, didn't you see in Florida? I think it was in Florida recently. This teacher got fired for failing the students.
Yes, that was Florida. Yeah,
that was Florida. She literally got fired, and she sent the kids a note saying, "I'm gone because I had to fail you guys."
Yeah. So I had two in high school and three in college.
And I'm happy. I'm glad. Excited. Whatever word you want to use. Mm-hmm. That you said fifth grade.
Yeah.
Because my teacher that I remember was a professor in college, right? He's my first or second year in college. And I had him for several classes after that. And he was the teacher that impressed upon me the most, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you said fifth grade, because I'm looking back, I was like, well, maybe I had good teachers in the first grade or the second grade. But, you know, the teacher in the third grade was, you know, just as good or whatever. And I blocked out the first and second. Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe just the progression of the fact that this was one of the last professors or instructors that I dealt with. And maybe that's why it remnants in my in my head. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that you said fifth grade, because you're taking that out of the equation for yourself, at least.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, how about you, Tim? When your favorite or most impressionable instructor?
And why?
Actually, well, what grade, I guess, is my question.
So you guys are going to laugh at this one. It wasn't really in high school or college.
It wasn't like a formal education.
No. Yeah. This will always stand out in my head. And it was, of all places, I was in eighth grade getting ready to do my, confirmation. I was in CCD. The guy that was teaching the class was actually one of my best friend's father, right? One of my best friend's father. And so he's in this class and we always joked around, but the first thing he did day one, he knew every single one of us in that room, but he didn't give a shit about that, right? He draws a line on the board. What the hell are you doing? Right? So we're looking, he draws a line, you know, he puts a person at the front, puts it at the thing. He goes, "All right, guys, this is your life." He goes, "It's a straight line." He goes, "You're born and you're dead." And he goes, from there, he draws a line down. At some point, you will make mistakes and you'll be on a downslope. But then you'll bounce back. And it was just this whole thing. And it was this, and the message really was about like, hey, no matter what path you take, you'll always get, if you get back to here, to that straight line, you know, you'll find, you know, God at the end of life and all that. So it was about... that resonates in my head about the God part, but it's really more about and now being almost 40, it is the truest statement I've ever heard in my life. Mm. And explained in the simplest way of basically stick figures and a line and some zigzags at 14 year olds. And the guy's like, "Oh yeah, beginning death. And this is your life. And you know, you have your peaks and your valleys and everything." And it was just like, holy shit. That was probably the best lesson I've ever learned, like or be a part of, because it was said so simple, but yet it was the most effective statement I've ever heard. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, to that, like the way it was, like, and it wasn't about trying to get, you know, no shine. Mm-hmm. It was, motherfucker, this is your life. This right. Even take away the God part. This is what your path is in life.
And you said that was eighth grade.
Yeah.
So you've had, what, 8 more years of education after that?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really give a shit about school. Like, I've had teachers that I was cool with, that I learned from, but I...
The ones that you remember is from eighth... The one that you remember the most is from eighth grade.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I remember...
Okay. I'm glad to hear that, because like I said, mine was one of the last that I had.
Don't get me wrong. I remember most of my teachers... But the lessons and the things, like I was that punk kid that always thought he knew everything. So I was just like, fuck everybody.
See, look at this.
Wait,
so let me
on. Wait, just as a kid?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. No.
When are you going to grow out of that?
You're almost 40.
I got a story.
A confidence, my
about,
friend.
About oh, how, universe. See, this is, again, I'm not trying to knock women. At all. I promise. I'm just telling you my life experience. No, just listen.
He's not trying. It just comes naturally.
It amazes me. He will. Wait, what amazes me is he will knock down a woman in a heartbeat until you bring up his mom. And then it's like the angel, the like, yeah. So in other words, all the women out there, Mr. Salty, you're never going to compare to mom. So you're screwed. Everyone.
No, exactly. No, you know what? Listen. So
this is why you're not allowed on the show anymore.
Yeah. Thanks for calling out my truth. No, but this is true story. So
you're the weakest link.
In sixth grade, I think it was sixth grade, I had a female teacher. Okay. Now, you know, God bless her soul. She was the nicest teacher ever. Listen to me. All right?
Was she hot?
She was. But here's the thing though. Like I misbehaved. I was a bad kid. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I didn't respect her as a teacher. Like she was
who in this room finds that hard to believe that Nelson was a bad student?
No,
anybody? No,
come on.
I'm sorry.
Anybody?
What you say? I was a bad kid.
I was a bad kid. No shock.
Like, so, okay. Anyway, no back surprise. To your story.
You know, I gave her like the hardest time. I reflect back on what I did. I was a big. Stop. You guys are being really nasty and sexual right now.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Anyways, listen.
I thought none.
So one day, but this was in, you know what? This must have been in seventh grade. Why? Because we would change like classes. So you would have a homeroom.
Seventh grade is when you start changing.
Yeah, so you have a homeroom and then you have like different teachers for different courses, different subjects. Anyway, so I would have this teacher and I would give her the hardest time. Like me and my buddy, we would never behave. Like we were doing, you know, just messing around their whole time. And the whole time she's like, Nelson, stop, just stop horsing around, whatever, you know? And then one day, the male teacher who I had the next hour, who in his class, you better believe I was like, you know, I was doing my work. I was like, yeah, in his mind, I was like the nicest kid ever. But in her class, I was like the devil incarnated. Shit. You know what I'm saying? And one day, I guess she had a talk with that teacher and is like, really? Nelson does that? Let me show up to your class. Oh. So he decides to show up to my class when I'm being rowdy. And he, in the entrance to the classroom is in the back. He comes in quietly and I'm misbehaving. Listen, and this teacher, he walks in and he sits like right next to me. Ooh. And as soon as I see him, I'm like, yes, I'm like, and it's like, Nelson, I've never seen the side of you, Nelson. And then, so she's laughing though. You know, the teacher's like, yeah, Nelson, you know, you're, you know, and, but kids do that. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Like
boys,
and you boys do that.
Boys
you know
do
what
that.
I mean?
Like, boys need. Men
boys need men for that structure, for the discipline. And I look like I said, most of the female teachers, they in my life, in my experience, they focused on how was I feeling. You know how I was feeling? I was feeling like I wanted to misbehave.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the honest truth.
See, I was always a shithead in school. I mean, I passed my classes. Most people, you know, I always got along with everybody, but I don't know how. I never got kicked out of school or whatever because it went against like that whole rebellion thing against parents and whatnot. Like I was raised right, but the shit I was doing in school, they probably thought my parents were like the biggest white trash people in the world because I had one teacher. I literally almost every day, this guy, his name was Howard Rosenblum. He was a biology teacher.
Howard, we love you.
Yeah. Okay,
so we're check so this out. Sorry, Howard. Sorry, he's Howard. Still an asshole.
So check this out.
He hasn't changed.
But there's two parts to the story, right? So when I was in, you know, when I was a sophomore in high school, every day, because I hated science, I hated biology, and I was so bored. I used to sing Old MacDonald in this motherfucker's class every day, and I'd fall asleep, then wake up, go get a pass, go take a shit, come back. I always disrupted this class. And then I'd get back and I would literally start singing Old MacDonald, How to Farm. And then I would get other people to join in. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah.
What class was it?
Biology.
Biology.
Right?
Oh, my God.
And
I'm trying to figure out how old McDonald's runs into biology. But
no,
okay.
No. But I was just saying,
you're just being a dick.
Yeah. So, and then we found that. Then I found out that he had a daughter that was our age. So every day in class, I'd be like, and I'd call him Howie. Hey, Howie. Oh, yeah. I was very disrespectful.
Oh, my God.
Right? And I think about this now and I reflect and I'm going, shit, you know, but then there's part of me of like, not much has changed. Anyway, so I'd be like, hey, Howie. I'm like, hey, you got a picture of your daughter? And he would, oh, yeah. And he would never, ever, ever show a picture of his daughter, right?
Did you pass the class?
Oh, I did. I don't know how I even I don't know how I passed the Regents.
You know how you passed him? He didn't want you back the next day.
Anyway,
that's why he passed.
So we're getting close to the last day of school. And he goes, hey, Mr. Farrar, come over here. I go, what's up? Shows me a picture of his daughter. Oh, my God. And I was like, oh, shit. And I do the fucking thing. I said, oh, shit, she's ugly. Right? Right? No, and you see, and that because I was a freaking punk. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I've been, my dad used to check me and things like that, but it was always, if you checked me, I respected you. Mm-hmm. But if you never checked me, like, yo, I'm calling home, you know, right. Whatever, you got me in trouble, whatever.
He needed a man in his life to put him in place.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's like, all right, cool, like, whatever. But then I found that then the next year, it was the most humbling thing because it was like right when like cell phones were just getting more a little bit more popular. New York passed a law that said, you know, it was the hands-free. Like you had to be hands-free on a phone back, you know, in 1990. Yeah, 1990.
Really? They didn't even have hands-free.
Wow. No. But they had the cords and whatnot. Yeah. Like, no, you weren't allowed
like
to. No.
Like an earbud
I'm saying not hands-free. There was no talking or driving while driving.
Oh, wow.
Like they banned the use of cell phones while driving. And that rule's still in effect.
Damn liberals. Oh, wait. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
That's why it doesn't
work.
But what happened
and now he's
was,
out here driving crazy.
Right, exactly.
So what happened was his wife went over and pulled onto the side of the road to make a phone call, right?
Which is even more dangerous depending on
what
road.
No, but it was like
on.
like a rest stop. It wasn't like on the shoulder. Okay, right. She pulled over off the side of the road to make a phone call. Freaking car comes out of nowhere and takes out the wife and the daughter.
Oh.
And news gets back. I went up to him and I apologized to him. I said, I know I was an asshole, but I do want to completely apologize, you know, for everything I said. You know, I was just like one of those things, like, holy shit. Yeah. You know,
how long after it was like your class? The next year?
Yes, I was a junior.
Wow.
I was either a junior or senior. So it was
like
either
two or
year
three
or
years later?
A year or two.
Year or two later?
Yeah. Okay. So, and it was just like, holy shit. And then it's like, that's when I started realizing, like, when I had, and I realized, like, being a shithead in class, like, I'm making people laugh and whatnot, being a class, but I truly was interrupting people from learning.
Sure.
And in this day and age, if that was the case, oh my God, I definitely would have been expelled from school.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, it's totally acceptable today. Are you kidding me?
For hurting people's feelings and shit. Dude, yeah. I told the teacher one time that a teeth was green. She was sucking on the halls. And I said straight up, I'm like, oh, that's not what you were sucking on. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Wow.
No, wait, hold on. I have a story.
I was a douche.
When I was at, I think it was fourth grade. No, this, oh my God, listen to this. Now, this is somebody, again, I was a church boy, okay?
What?
Yeah, I grew up in church. Anyways. When I was growing up, I was like literally a loner, and this was the only kid that I was like able to relate to because I had freaking like my imagination was like out of, you know what I mean? Like I would have weird imaginations. I'd be like, yeah, we're on a spaceship. And you know, just, I was like that. And we would like go on space trips in our minds and we'd be on the swings and be like, oh yeah, we're going to go to this planet, whatever. Right. So we're role playing this stuff in our mind.
That's normal.
Okay.
Teddy.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, but this part is not normal. And so
we'll be the judge of that.
Oh yeah. So then we're like, we landed on this planet and we're like, our ship crashed and now we're like trying to find help. Okay. And so what do? We're like, well, let's just write something on the sand.
SOS.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So then we were going to write help. Okay. So then we start like writing a big H right?
I'm sorry. Where is this?
This is in our school, right?
In like the school playground?
Playground,
sandbox,
exactly.
Sandbox kind of thing?
Not a sandbox, but it was like a field of just dirt.
Grass filled.
No, it was
dirt.
Dirt,
yeah. Okay.
And so we start writing the letter H, right? So I write, I do this, and then he does the cross against H.
Yeah.
And then I accidentally do the one at the top, and it was an F. Okay, now you know what word is coming.
Fuck.
Whoa.
Yeah. So we wrote the word, we wrote in big letters, fuck you. And then we didn't stop there. We wrote every single cuss word that we could think about. And we're laughing as we're doing it, okay? Now, these two girls, you know, the goody-goody girls at that time, they see us writing this. And they're like, ooh, you guys are writing all this, you know? They go and tell the teacher, okay?
Oh,
the teacher. Now, this teacher was like mean. Like this teacher was known to make kids cry, okay? This is a mean teacher, okay?
This is the teacher I want to be when
oh,
I grow
my
up.
God. And she comes over like, what are you guys doing? Well, no, because when they leave, the little girls are like, we're going to go tell so-and-so. And me and him, we're panicking. We're like trying to erase everything. We're like, but we wrote it so big that it's taking forever to erase it. Right? She comes over and the teacher's like looking at us like, who did this? And this is me and my buddy. I swear to God, we were great actors. We don't know. We're erasing this right now because this should not be here, right? Listen. And she's like, are you guys being honest right now? And we're like, we are so honest. I've never been this honest in my life. You know?
Nelson's straightening his halo.
Wait, I don't know if she knew. I don't know if she knew.
Dude,
that
she knew.
Okay, we listen. So she's like, this is what she does. She's like, she goes, you know what? You guys did a good thing today. Come to my office after recess. Yeah. So me and him, we're like, oh no, this is it. We're busted.
She's beating you along,
man.
She's
gonna, tell my mom, and my mom's gonna know that I wrote all these bad words in the playground. I go to her office. Like I tell my teacher, I'm like, I gotta go to Mrs. So and so's office. I go to her office and she's like, you guys did a good thing today. Here's some chocolates. We got chocolates. Now, I think she was expecting us to fess up. We never fessed up. Dude,
did you eat the chocolate?
Oh, I ate that.
Oh my God. You're going to hell, Nelson. You're going to hell.
I'm like,
just me, remember,
my buddy's across
the
hell. Wait, you guys ratted somebody out?
No. See, this is like gonna be. No. So we said somebody, we don't know who did it.
Yeah, we didn't. You just plead the fifth.
Yeah. And so
well, they claimed they were erasing it.
Yeah. You just, and me and my buddy's sitting across the room and he's eating his chocolate and everybody's looking at us like, where did you guys get chocolate? And I'm like, you just gotta do the good things in the world, man. You just gotta be good people
in
the world.
Do the right thing, Spike Lee.
Do the right thing.
Do the right thing, Spike Lee.
Yeah, I gotta roll.
Oh my God. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us at the Salty Show. We had Jeremy and Heidi today. It was a fun show. We'll see you guys next time. Adios. Mm-hmm.